Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. And I'm sending all good wishes to you listeners that you are healthy and safe. I have another great program for you today. Now, having a partner during crisis is a privilege, but it doesn't always feel that way when you're stuck at home and not getting along. Right now, during the COVID-19 pandemic, it's difficult to repress or ignore the interpersonal conflicts you may be having at home. My guest then today is Dr. Jan Dworkin. Jan is a therapist for individuals and couples with over 25 years of experience. She co-founded the Process Work Institute and is the author of the new book called Make Love Better: How to Own Your Story, Connect with Your Partner, and Deepen Your Relationship Practice. Today, she'll share strategies and tools to navigate the relationship challenges that arise as a result of sheltering in place. And for more information about Jan Dworkin or her book, go to jandworkin.com. Welcome to the program, Jan. Great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. It's great to be here. I really appreciate you having me on.
Absolutely. Now, I know you've been on the program before discussing your new book, Make Love Better, and listeners really enjoyed that program and your advice, Jan. But for those who weren't able to listen to the program, share with us briefly what motivated you to write this particular book.
Well, I had been working as a therapist and a relationship coach and counselor for many, many years. And I knew that there was a book inside of me that wanted to come out that was going to, you know, be designed to help couples navigate their relationship issues. But what ultimately drove my book at the moment that it did finally come through me was the experience of going through a difficult period in my own personal life. And a really horrible breakup from what I considered to be an emotionally abusive relationship when I was in my mid-40s. And at that time, I was a very successful professional. I had great friends, but I felt so alone and isolated in my experience of having this internal sense of failure in my relationship life, in my home life, and a lot of shame. And I wasn't seeing my experiences reflected in the people around me, especially not on social media where, as you know, as we all know, people curate their lives Absolutely. For public consumption and rarely share the kinds of really difficult experiences that they're going through. And that made me feel even more isolated. So I wrote this book because at the time that I felt that reading such a book would have helped me not to feel so alone. So in a sense, you could say I wrote it for me, but with the hope that it would help other people as well. And I was very inspired by the Toni Morrison, who said, if there's a book that you want to read and it hasn't been written yet, then you have to write it yourself.
I love that, Jan. And I know, as I said last time, that there's so much of you in this book. And I appreciate that you share the joys and the struggles that you
went through.
Because I think you're right. We don't hear about the struggles as much. And we think we're all alone when actually we really are bonded to one another. And our struggles, our challenges are common, correct?
Absolutely true, and especially from our experts. I think it's changing, and I think experts are starting to become more transparent about really who they are with people and that we derive a lot of our expertise through our own lived experience. So I'm happy to be part of that movement, and it definitely felt like a big risk.
No, and it is a risk, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think it is a risk. Even as you said that, I went, ooh, my body just felt that. Whoa,
right.
You know?
Right.
You know, as an expert, I think we're supposed to be these people who have perfect lives, perfect relationships, when we're just like everyone else, listeners. We exactly. have our ups, our downs. And I was thinking about the other day, even when I was working with a client and they said to me, you know, how do you feel? And I said, great. And then I stopped and I said, well, maybe I'm not so great, right?
Right.
Just
exactly.
like you, I'm feeling all of the tension and challenges that everyone else is feeling.
Well, I know that's something that many of us in our profession are talking about, that, you know, maybe I don't want to say for the first time, but it is a very unusual time in that all of us who are helping others are really going through the same thing that many of our clients are going through. And we're sharing that experience of anxiety and fear and uncertainty. And I think it does create a different level of connection with each other. And I'm finding that for sure.
And how are you then managing the challenges and struggles as you hear everyone else's challenges? And I know that there are many listeners in the helping profession, and they're therapists, counselors, teachers, medical professionals. How are you managing these days then, Jan?
Well, thank you for the question. Since we were just talking about transparency, I guess that question is a natural flow. I mean, for me, I'm finding that one of the things that gives my life meaning is being able to provide something for others and helping other people. Obviously, that's why I chose the profession that I chose. Mm-hmm. So if I feel like I can be useful to other people, I feel less hopeless. And if I focus on just what's in front of me in the moment, the person I'm talking to, then it gives a sense of meaning to my life. Mm-hmm. And that's a way that I manage stress. Some mm-hmm. people manage stress by chilling out and relaxing. Other people manage stress by being busy and productive. I'm more on that side. Mm-hmm. So when I can work and I can help others, I feel better myself.
Mm-hmm. I like
so
that.
That's one thing. Another thing is just every day reminding myself of my privilege, and I have a safe place to live, and I have a loving partner, and I have work, and I'm still living in a place where I can go outside and exercise. So just meditating, exercising, talking to people that I love, all of these things are some ways that I'm dealing with my own sense of stress and uncertainty. And then sometimes I get really down. And in those moments, I try as best as I can to allow myself also to go through the different moods and states of consciousness that I need to go through, and not try to change myself or put too much pressure on myself to be different than I am.
Mm-hmm. I like that. Thank you, by the way, for sharing that, Jan, with all of us. But I especially like the last part where you are accepting that you're not always positive and upbeat and okay, and going through that journey is okay. And I think that's an important message for listeners. At least I hear it for me, and a good message as well, to accept the downs as well as the appreciation, and that even when you have privilege, sometimes you can still feel down.
Of course, absolutely. And it becomes really, really important in partnership, because we are going to be going into, you know, going through so many different kinds of experiences, that we don't try to talk each other out of our experiences. I think that's one of the keys to getting along with our partners during this period, is to accept these different states of consciousness that are coming up and these different moods, and to understand that there's value in all of them. There's value in being optimistic and being future planning and being able to get sort of beyond the everyday reality that we're all stuck in and sharing. But there's also value in really allowing yourself to feel the depth of the uncertainty and the fear. And it brings some of us closer to our spiritual beliefs. It brings some of us closer to that sense of the inevitability of death. And those are all deep and important experiences that we as human beings are going through.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. Now, I know that you have started an online class or group mm-hmm. for couples mm-hmm. Once the COVID-19 pandemic escalated. Mm-hmm. Can you share with us what you've been learning in this group, or as you've been working with couples during this period of time?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, there's so much that I have been learning. I mean, one of the things that strikes me just the most sort of surface level thing is that couples are experiencing this really differently. For some couples, they're specifically, and I'm talking specifically about sheltering in place and being sort of, quote, stuck at home and confined, that some couples are experiencing it as extremely challenging. And they use language like, I feel confined, I feel locked up, I feel trapped, even suffocated. And especially when there's when there have been pre-existing problems in a relationship, being together 24/7 really does amplify those problems. If there's an underlying emotional distance, being physically close makes the emotional distance feel worse.
Can you explain that just a little bit more, Jen? That's so important. What does that mean exactly?
Well, if you have an emotional distance with your partner and you, what I mean by that is that you don't really feel deeply connected. You share like the everyday, you share things in everyday reality. You check in about your day. You talk about the kids. You manage day-to-day life really well. But you don't have kind of a deeper place where you really connect about how you're really feeling and what you're really going through. And say one of the partners wants to feel more connected and the other one doesn't. Well, in ordinary life, when we're not stuck together in such close physical proximity, we get those kinds of emotional needs met by friends. We get them met at work in different ways. And we may not notice the emotional distance as much that we have with our partners. Mm-hmm. But when we're stuck at home and we're spending so many hours of the day together, then we sort of notice the things that are missing more.
Right.
We have a tendency to really, and then we can, might have a tendency to really focus on those things and even amplify them or exaggerate them.
Right, right. And especially if two partners differ in the response to stress, if
Absolutely.
One likes to be alone and do things by themselves versus the other likes to talk and to do activities and to get online and do a virtual class and talk with family, that's going to get amplified during sheltered in place as well.
Exactly, especially with introverts and extroverts. I mean, I have some introverted, deeply introverted clients who are in partnership with extroverts who say they just never really realized the difference in their personalities and the difference in their needs because the extroverted partner goes to work and gets all of that social need met. And the introverted person is feeling like she's never felt so pressured to relate so much during this period of sheltering in place and supposedly being isolated.
So what do you tell these couples that have these different kinds of differences, particularly in how they respond to stress or introvert, extrovert, or even couples who felt emotionally distanced before the COVID-19 pandemic, and now they're together 24/7?
Well, there's so many different kinds of things that we can talk about, but one of the things and the most essential thing is trying to really use your relationship differences as resources for the strength and the well-being of the relationship as a whole. So, and what I mean by that is that if you are really polarized from your partner and you see your partner as really other than you, you feel really so different, then that can in and of itself be lonely and isolating. But if you could find somehow your partner's experience somewhere within yourself, then it dissolves the boundary between you. So for example, if somebody deals with stress by getting really, really busy and productive, and the other one deals with stress by really needing to chill out and watch Netflix, then instead of criticizing the other person for how they're doing it, find within yourself, like for me, I'm a doer and I like to be productive and busy and I'm very work oriented, but I know that I can get really out of balance with that. And if my partner has the ability to take it easy and relax more, instead of allowing that to frustrate me or feeling critical of that behavior, then I can just think, maybe I need to just take a break a little bit. Instead of being annoyed by him taking a break, I myself can look for that need in me and see that as something positive.
I like that. And I know that listeners are relating to that particular example, Jan, because I can see so many couples differing in that regard. So what you're saying then, to recap, is that try to not criticize the difference in your partner, but accept it and then see it within yourself and maybe even inch a little bit toward that situation or activity and incorporate it into your life as well. Is that correct?
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. I mean, another thing that's coming up really strongly is this whole issue of boundaries in relationship. And many of us who think more deeply about this whole thing that's going on in the world this pandemic, understand that or see it as emphasizing the need to both create boundaries but also dissolve boundaries. Like, although we need to put up physical boundaries to the virus, like social distancing and hand washing and self-isolating, all of these measures that we're taking, we're also seeing more than ever how interconnected we all are, right? So it's this, we're sharing something as a globe in a way that, maybe we haven't really realized enough before. But these boundaries, this issue of boundaries is really important during this time for couples because everything is happening in the same space. And a lot of couples are having trouble putting up boundaries between the different parts of themselves and their different roles, like their work time and their social friendship time online or their self-care time or even date night or their processing time, their time for actually working on conflicts. And what happens is all of these different activities start to blend into each other. And you might be on a work call and something happens, your partner accidentally walks in the room and you get irritated and suddenly a conflict breaks out when you're in the middle of your workday. Mm-hmm. And trying to manage conflict when you're trying to deal with a stressful job, if you're lucky enough to have a job still, is not going to be helpful to working on that conflict.
So what should couples do then? Because I can see that happening a lot. Even as I talk to people on Zoom or Skype, Jan, I can see a partner in the background going to the bathroom or running by. And I'm fine with it, but I can tell the other person is a little annoyed. So what should you do then as those boundaries are difficult to put in place?
They are difficult to put in place under ordinary circumstances.
Yes, so you're right.
Right, exactly. So this is as good a time as any, or another way to say that is we're being forced to really work on an issue that's very difficult for us anyway in relationship. So one of the things that I recommend to couples is that they really negotiate at the beginning of the day or the beginning of their week what their needs are. And that they look at their days and they say, during this particular period of time, I need to be able to go in the room and shut the door if you have a separate room. If not, there's hopefully a screen you can put up or ask your partner to wear headphones. You know, it's going to be very, very different for different people, depending on economics, depending on if there's kids at home that need to be taken care of. There's so many factors here. But the point is to bring these needs up to the surface and discuss them ahead of time and see if you can negotiate your needs and your boundaries.
I like that. At the beginning of the day or the beginning of the week, bring things up. And one of the things, by the way, I'm reminded when I say bring things up, Jan, is that for many couples that I'm seeing, they're talking about the pandemic and the struggles and the challenges all day.
Right.
And so maybe a relationship meeting, so to speak, a particular time of the day that you do all of these boundary making, that you discuss your fears, your concerns, your anxieties, rather than 24/7, all permeating every moment of
Absolutely.
Your relationship.
And what you just brought up, I think, is a really important point about the news, because the whole relationship to the news and the relationship to news consumption and taking in information is really, really different for different people. And some people, and this, I'm bringing this up because it has to do with boundaries, because some people need to make a boundary to the news and to information and to social media and need to reduce stress by having quiet time, going internal, being in nature. And other people need to dissolve that boundary between them and what's happening in the world and gather every single piece of information and be filled with all of the facts and all of the information and all of the anti-facts and everything that's out there. I just made up a word. I don't think
anti-fact,
but I think we know what I'm talking about.
Good.
You know, and so where was I going with that? I was saying that the boundary, that's another area of boundary making, that people need to be respected in their relationship to news and news consumption.
And I like that, again, your strategy might be, as you said before, not to criticize your partner, even though your partner is very different in that news consumption, but to accept it and to also perhaps see in yourself a little bit of how you could change, you could compromise, you could inch toward some of that as well.
Absolutely.
So I think that's very a positive piece of advice for couples these days. Now, something else, Jan, that I've been seeing is that partners have differences in regard to safety protection. Some
yes.
people will go out and do grocery shopping, one partner, and the other partner is really not into that and doesn't want the other partner to do that. Are you seeing that as well, those kinds of differences?
That's probably one of the most key differences that I'm seeing, as I'm sure you are. It was especially coming up at the beginning of the pandemic. I think before hopefully everybody really understood how serious this was, when there was still much more ambiguity about it. But I still do know within some couples that some people are feeling the need to make boundaries around touch, even within the household, around touch and sexuality. And whereas others are feeling much more loose about those things. I mean, I'm thinking about a couple who had very, very different approaches to going out. And one of them felt that they could respect social distancing and still spend time with friends and go out. And the other one was extremely upset by that and felt like it was absolutely taking unnecessary risks. And the thing is, we can get so polarized around those things, but we need to understand where each other's coming from and why they're doing what they're doing. And when it turns out that the one who was going out and taking what was perceived as unnecessary risks was extremely stressed out by the fact that their parents lived in a different country and that their elderly parents were going through all sorts of health problems, and the client had no ability to reach his parents and connect with them and help them, and was actually freaking out inside, and going out and having social contact and drinking as a way of managing his anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And so sometimes there's an underlying reason for the difference. And if you can just see that or talk to your partner about it, that might bring you closer rather than polarize you, is what you're saying.
Yeah, it won't necessarily change your feelings
right.
about the actual facts of whether you feel comfortable being physically close or sexually close to the person that you don't feel is being physically safe. And I find a lot of times that it also brings up underlying or pre-existing issues in a relationship, because if one of the partners feels that their partner isn't, it's ultimately about whether the partners are protecting each other.
Right. Exactly.
So if somebody doesn't feel that their partner is protecting them during this time, mm-hmm. then chances are that person has not felt very taken care of by their partner in other ways.
Or even that they trusted their partner, too.
Absolutely.
It could be protection. It could be trust.
Absolutely.
Oh, Jan, this is such great information. Thank you so much. We only have about 1 minute left. If there's one message that you would like listeners to take away from this program, what might that be?
It's a couple of things. Well, you asked for one. One thing we didn't touch on that I think is really important is the whole idea of emotional contagion. And the idea that it's not just the virus that we need to protect each other, but we need to also be aware of our impact on each other. Mm. And if we're, while we're in a space together, that our emotions can also have a huge impact on the space and a huge impact on our partners and families. And if we're really, really stressed out, it's understandable. But instead of trying to just let our emotions sort of sneeze and cough our emotions all over the environment, let's try to be able to frame what we're feeling and say, I'm feeling really stressed and anxious today. My anxiety levels are really high. I hope you understand. I'm going to try to take a little distance, or I need a hug. Or somebody else saying, I'm feeling really angry at today. I feel just so frustrated with the way this thing is being handled. And instead of spewing my anger on you, I'm going to try to just take a few deep breaths. Or please understand that if I'm seeming really aggressive, it's not personal.
Right. Oh, thank you so much, Jen. What great advice, information. I always love talking to you. And thank you so much for what you're doing for couples, for individuals in relationships as well, especially, particularly at this point in time. So thank you so much for joining us, Jan.
Thank you for having me, Terry. It's been a pleasure. And I really appreciate what you're doing. So thank you.
Okay. I appreciate it. And again, listeners, if you want more information about Dr. Jan Dworkin or her new book, Make Love Better, please go to jandworkin.com. And as always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here to help all your relationships, including the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is Dr. Terry, the Love Doctor.com, where I provide you with science-based relationship advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, be healthy, be safe, and here's to your happy, healthy relationships.